Amen. I just love that song. Man, when we all get to heaven, we're going to rejoice. Permanently. You're going to have to wake up the next morning and face the day. Wouldn't it be great not to need any sleep or not have to eat? Just be with the Lord. Tonight we're in 2 Peter, going through the book of 2 Peter. We start chapter 2 today, verses 1 to 3. Then after the study, we'll have a prayer meeting here in the sanctuary. 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3. And as we go over this, we see that Peter is going to start talking about false teachers. In chapter 1, Peter, concerning the things concerning Christ and his coming again, shared that with the church and shared that he personally was an eyewitness of the majesty of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was on that Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus in his glory, the deity. And we read how there were many eyewitnesses after his resurrection. But we also studied, even though they were eyewitnesses, that he ended in chapter 1 by saying, we have the more sure word of prophecy. How can something be better than an eyewitness? Well, you know what can be better? Someone predicting something 500 years before it happens, and it happens exactly that way. You say, wow. Sometimes my eyes can deceive me, but prophecy prophesied of the Messiah coming, and all of it was fulfilled. And we're blessed to have the Bible, the scriptures, the words of the prophets, the New Testament. We know the testimony of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel. But after that, Peter goes on in verse 1 in chapter 2. He says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Peter is saying, he just shared how we have that more sure word of prophecy. He says, but there were the true prophets, but there were also false prophets in the Old Testament. There were false prophets, just like there's false teachers today. See, a prophet is one who foretells God's word to the people. And they spoke concerning things concerning God, and people think of prophecy just as future events. They can be, but it's God, as we read in Corinthians, it's God speaking through someone to the people, his truth, his word. And so he says, but there were false prophets, just as there are among you back 2,000 years ago at the beginning of the church, and there still are today. But he doesn't say false prophets. He says there were false prophets, but today they are false teachers. Because if a person is really used by God, has the gift of prophecy, it's going to be true. But there are false teachers. That's why we have so many cults. People professing to be Christians, but they're false teachers, those that teach in those places. In the days of Jesus, when God was using the Old Testament prophets to speak to his people Israel, among his people, within them, he's saying, were these false prophets. Satan counterfeits everything. We have to be careful. That's why it is good to be in Bible study. Read the Bible daily. Feast on the Word of God. There's only one way to know a counterfeit, and it's to know the truth. Then you know it's counterfeit. Did you ever go to the store where you see them lifting up a $20 bill in the light? Why do you think they're doing that? Just to look cool? No. They're checking it if it's real. The counterfeiters are so good today that it's sometimes hard to tell. That's true with everything. I just heard on the radio this week how this actor, somebody bought this car here in Costa Mesa, a lot of money, and he bought it and he sold it for a lot more, $1.5 million or so, but they found out it was a counterfeit. So now he's suing. You can't tell and a lot of things today, what's real and what's not. You know, if someone's trying to sell you this beautiful watch for $15, you know it's counterfeit. You know, we can usually tell by the price. But false teachers are really counterfeits, and they exist today. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They would go around and say they're one of the apostles. He says, there's false apostles, deceitful workers. They transform themselves, make them look like apostles of Christ. And no wonder they're deceiving people, because Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He himself, transforms himself into an angel of light and uses people to teach lies. Something that is false is oftentimes hard to detect. A casual observer will not always catch a counterfeit. Now, we don't want to be casual Christians, or Christians just by name. We need to know the Word of God so that we don't get deceived. I don't know about you, but I hate being deceived. Oh, there's nothing worse, is there? You find out, they tricked me. They deceived me. Regarding our faith, we need to be well-versed, not only for ourselves, but so that we can share it with other people. Now, I just ran into someone today as we were doing our walk at the beach. A guy ran into us, started talking with him, and found out, we knew the Lord. And he says, well, it's good that God helps those that helped him, that helped himself. I said, that's not in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. I said, realistically, God helps those that can't help themselves. He says, yeah, but these people today, they don't work, these young people, and they need to work. And I said, well, the Bible does say if you don't work, you don't eat. He says, well, that's what I mean. He says, well, that's different than God helps those that help themselves. He says, you're the one that has to run your own life, take care of yourself, and go for it and do it. I said, no. Because there's a lot of things in life that you can't help yourself in. It's beyond your ability. You can have a disease or get hurt or lose all your finances or suffer something in life. And there are some things we just can't control. But we have God. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, that are called according to his purpose. We know that. So we get through these things. We go to God. We pray. He gets us through. Here we are tonight. How many times did you think, well, I don't think I can make it? We get through with God. We couldn't do it ourselves. I'm glad that when you can't do it, God can. Isn't that great? He can always do it. He can always do it, no matter what it is. There's not one thing in this room today that God can't handle. He can do it. But we need to know the scriptures. Because if you don't, or you misquote them, your life's a mess. Well, how come God isn't working? Well, you don't know the Word of God. You're not going to God. You're not counting on him. You know, we need to know the Word of God. If Satan can clear Bibles out of church, schools, and homes, he will deceive many people. He will deceive many people. That's why the attack is on, to get people away from the Word of God. You know, we need to be a Berean. You know what a Berean is? Let's turn to Acts chapter 17, please. Acts 17, verse 10. Acts 17, 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Speaking of the Bereans, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. They were more noble, it means, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They heard the word of God, they listened to his teaching, but then they went home and they searched the scriptures to make sure that's true. Never just listen to the pastor. Take it in. He uses us to teach and to preach. I'm wrong in saying don't listen. I want you to listen. But I mean, don't live by what I say. Live by what God says. Go home and check it out. And if ever you find me sharing something wrong, you come back and tell me that's not right. But you better be ready to have the right verses. You see, we always check. These people checked it out with the Word of God. Oh, but I heard it on the radio, Christian radio. Doesn't matter. There are false teachers. Jesus said, follow me. Not some man, not some woman, not some denomination, not some movement. He said, follow me. So we need to know what the Lord says. Then you'll be okay. We all follow Jesus, and we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. So you search the scriptures. People are quick to listen and jump on board and follow some movement or some person, and then down the road they get hurt. Got to make sure. That's why here we teach the Word of God. Sunday, Wednesday, every time we meet, it's the Word of God. God speaking to you. God speaking to me. And that's the way it needs to be. He's the one that's going to help you. Don't listen and believe everything you hear. Make sure things line up with Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 13, if you'd like to turn there. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, hey, God spoke to me about this. And the sign or the wonder which comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, say he says this to you, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Idol worshiping. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. We're going to be tested to see if we're truly loyal to the Lord. And prophets were going around saying, oh, you don't need to follow just Jehovah God. You know, we have idols over here, and you can follow the gods of this land that we're in. And that's not scriptural that they would do that. So what the point is, you check everything out with the Word of God and make sure, because someone can come up to you and say, well, the Lord told me, and share with you something. Well, check it out with the Word of God, because they can actually tell you to do something that's against Scripture. And God's word, or a word from the Lord, will never be against Scripture. I've had people over the years counseling that have said, I've actually heard people say this, the Lord told me to leave my wife because he's brought this other woman across my life. Session's over. No way God would ever tell you that. Well, then why would he allow that person in my life? He didn't. You're tested, you've fallen into temptation, you let it conceive, and it ends up in sin. God would never tell a person to do that. It'll always line up with the Word of God. Walk after the Lord. When he says don't do that, you don't do it. When he says do that, you do it. So the false prophets, you know, they're among the people now. They coexist. Usually, because the message of the false prophet or false teachers today, it's easier to follow. It feeds the flesh. More, you know, it's more bearable, more popular, well-pleasing to the ears. It's what I want to hear. That's why people try different religions or churches or whatever. I've got to find a place that, rather than them fitting into what God wants, they want to put God into the way they are. I want to find a place where I feel comfortable and I'm not challenged at all. You know, and They try to find a place where, hey, they're not going to hear anything that's convicting. Personally, I like to be challenged. It grows you. We need to be challenged in our walk with the Lord. It's good to encourage other Christians to correct, to instruct. It tells us to do that in the Bible. We need to grow in the Lord. We don't want to find a place easier and easier and easier. You know, in Jeremiah 28, the prophet Hananiah spoke to Israel about their captivity in Babylon. He says, the Lord gave me a word. We're going to be there less than 2 years. And if you know the story, Babylon, Israel spent 70 years in Babylon. See, Jeremiah was sharing the truth. Said, no, you better get ready. You're going to be here 70 years. They didn't like that. They didn't like him at all, that prophet. People don't like to hear the truth from God. Very convicting. I've shared this before, you know, before my wife and I were Christians and started checking things out, and we had this couple over to our house that were Christians. At the time, we were in the Catholic Church teaching high school classes and, you know, not born again, not Christians, and we invited them over because they were friends, and they started sharing how, you know, you really need to have Jesus in your life. Didn't like that. And then they said, you know, and I thank God for these people. They were bold enough to share the truth with us. Here we are, Christians, for all these years. If people weren't that bold with us, who knows where we'd be? But they said, you know, he looked at me and says, you know, you're not a good person. Well, that really set me off, you know. Someone's in your house eating my wife's homemade cookies and enjoying themselves and say, you're not a good person, you know. Wow. He says, no, none of us are good. There's none good. No, not one. The Lord says that. And you have to give your life to Jesus, and not religion. You have to have a relationship with him. And so we were kind of curt with them, and they left. And as soon as the door closed, I looked at my wife, and I said, they're never coming into this house again. And eventually they did, or we went over and saw them. But that's the way I was at first. You don't like to hear the truth when you're not right with God. Whether you're an unbeliever or a Christian that's backslidden, you do not like to hear the word of God. And so you get upset. But the Bible says God's word doesn't return void. And it stayed in there. And so you start thinking about it, and it drew us to the Lord. Because I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to know where I was going to go when I died. And so we came to the Lord. But people don't like the truth. You know, maybe you share the truth with people and they get upset with you. That's okay. As I've said many times here before, we're commissioned but not on commission. Isn't that great? That's a good job. We're commissioned to go out and share the word, but God's not going to count how many people we led to the Lord. We're not on commission. Our job is just to live and share God's truth. That's it. Don't get discouraged if people get upset with you or don't believe or don't want any part of it. That's okay. Still love them. Coexist with them. Share when you can. Most of all, live it out. But people will get upset. Just don't take it personal. You know, Jesus said that. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Boy, there's a fulfillment of God's word, isn't there? I had a tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. We're going to go through all these things. He says, but it's because of me. Well, I always have to remember, we're being persecuted or mocked or made fun of or whatever because of him, not because of us. Because we could start talking about something else, we'd be friends. It's because we have the Lord. And so we go through and we get through these things. God takes us through. But people seek out so-called teachers of God who will tell them what they want to hear. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Isn't that sad? It's been told people will get to that point, they just don't want to hear the word of God. They want an easy road. They want to be able to live the lifestyle they want to live. You know, people need to hear the truth. Jesus is coming again. There's a rapture of the church. There's a tribulation period. There's judgment, the great white throne judgment. There's a new heaven and an earth. There's heaven and hell. There's all of this that's real, and people need to know that. And there's one way to get to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father but through him, and people need to hear that. You know, because they need forgiveness of sin in order to get to heaven. We know this is all true because God said it. So we're lucky tonight if we're going to get through one verse. But back to verse 1 again. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. He says there will be false teachers in the church, and there are today among the church. There's Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, there's New Age, there's humanism, there's people even that profess to be Christians that preach there's no hell. You see that? All kinds of things today. All unbiblical. But they don't walk around with a sign on them, I'm a false teacher. We have to know the word of God to know that someone's a false teacher. Or you'll believe what they say. You know the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit. Were you ever in a position where you heard someone talk or heard something on the radio or TV or listened to something and you hear it and something inside of you says, that's not right. You ever feel like that? I don't know what it is, what they said or what I heard, but doesn't quite seem right. And you can't put your finger on it. That's the Holy Spirit, our teacher, telling us that's not right. But you can't put your finger on it or say anything yet. But then as time goes along, you realize, wait a minute, there it is. That's their point. There's a false teaching here. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit to testify of truth so we know truth and a lie. It says here they secretly bring in destructive heresies. You know, they may carry Bibles, but they don't teach them. They may have a very liberal interpretation to make things easier and more pleasing to the flesh. Boy, it would be great if you could just share a real easy form of religion that just didn't offend anybody. It would be great being a pastor or a teacher. Man, if you could, everybody was pleased. Wouldn't that be something? Everybody's just happy. We all leave here happy. We stand up and we hold arm in arm, sing kumbaya, and just everybody, we're all great. We all love each other, and there's no sin. The whole world's great. Everybody's going to heaven. But that would be a lie. You know, I don't know how many funerals I've done where people say, well, they're in heaven, or everybody goes to heaven to a better place. The Bible doesn't teach that everybody goes to a better place. The Bible says, else Christ died in vain. Then why did he die? In vain. What if you offered up your child to save someone else's life, and then the doctor told you, oh, there was another way? Would you be hurt? Wow. Can you just imagine that? You see, there's only one way. And that's the truth that needs to be shared. But they secretly bring in these destructive heresies that kind of looks okay or feels okay, but they're new ideas and, And it just doesn't fit with the Bible. And the bad thing is at the end of verse 1, it says, they even deny the Lord. They deny that Jesus is the Christ, the one who bought them. He died on the cross for them. They even deny that. So they're bringing on themselves swift destruction. They will be destroyed and judged guilty because their sin has to be paid for. But they deny the Lord who bought them. There's a difference here between buying or purchasing and redeeming. People can get confused here. Jesus bought everyone. There's a parable where he bought the whole field for the treasure that was in it. Because you were in there and I was in there. He bought the whole field. So he bought salvation for everyone. But only the redeemed, only those who believe are saved. Take advantage of that purchase. You see? So they deny that. And yet Jesus died for them. And yet they deny it. And so they don't take advantage of what they have in Christ. They actually turn their back on him. You know, be careful of anyone who denies that Jesus is God in the flesh, God's Son, the sacrifice for our sin. Because he is. There are people that deny that. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15. Speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus said in John, he who has seen me has seen God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth. He's the agent of creation, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So there you go. You know, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, the first few verses, you know, 1 through 4, it tells us here, in the beginning was the Word. Already in the beginning, he was already there. So the Word is talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, he's the Son of God, God in the flesh. And we read in verse 1, false teachers are bringing on themselves swift destruction because they seal their own faith by denying that Jesus is the Christ. And before we get into verse 2, we'll do that next week. Stop right there because the next couple of verses, there's a lot to get into. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have truth. We thank you that we are not deceived, but that you've given us the faith to believe in Jesus, our Savior. How wonderful it is to lie down in bed at night knowing that whatever happens, whether we're here or whether we're gone from here, we'll be with you. Thank you, Lord, that you paid the price for our sin. Thank you that we are going to heaven, that we have life. But use us, Lord, to share truth with others. Open doors of opportunity that may have been closed to share with others around us. And give us the boldness to speak out for you and stand for you, even when we're the only one around. Lord, you died alone on that cross and bore the shame and hung there publicly for us. The least we could do is give our lives back to you and live for you. Help us to do that. And Lord, we thank you so much for being with us here tonight. And we pray as we worship you in this last song that you would just move upon us and touch us and just make yourself evident to us in a real personal way. And after that, as we have a prayer meeting here, Lord, we know you're here because there'll be two or more. So prompt us in our prayers and give us boldness to speak out on those things we need to come to you for. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.